you all for joining us today. You know, there has been a lot said about big tech censorship of what transpired around the origins of the COVID-19 virus and where this came from, how it moved to a pandemic. And then there's also questions about what the American people were told and the timeliness or lack thereof of what they were being told. We know that Facebook recently reversed their decision on taking down any kind of information that said it came from the lab in Wuhan, that Beijing should be held to account. YouTube had previously announced that it would censor any content that contradicted the Beijing-run and China-funded World Health Organization. YouTube even took down a video from some medical doctors who were questioning the value of these lockdowns and were questioning what it does to the population and especially what it does to our children. Twitter, they locked down the account of a virologist, a Chinese virologist, who was saying, this is what they're doing, gain-of-function research, this is what they're doing in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, holding the Chinese Communist Party to account. I will tell you this, big tech has really stepped over, they have stepped over the line on this one. We all have suggestions of how we as a Senate should move forward and things that we should do to make certain this never happens to the American people. Senator Braun?
Thank you. And I tell you where we need to start. You had a unique thing happen, I think of just last week, where by unanimous consent, that hardly ever happens on a critical issue unless you're maybe renaming a post office or something, we got it through the Senate to ask our own intelligence agencies to release the information that we house. And for as much havoc as this has created, not only for our own country, across the world, why we wouldn't start there with President Biden, spoke to Secretary Blinken, ask him. He said, had no good reason why you would not release that information. We need to start there to get to the bottom of it. And when you talk about big tech being mum on the subject, basically, when you've got every U.S. senator that wants to at least start there, we need to have accountability. And I think it's for them to step up and lead the charge. They are the place that people look to, listen to. Where are they at? And we need to start there. Let's hold our own intelligence agencies accountable, release that information, declassify it.
Senator Marshall?
Okay. Well, Senator Blackburn, thank you so much for giving us a chance to sit here and talk about the Wuhan lab leak and the cover-up thereof, you know, what we affectionately refer to it as Batgate. You know, it occurred to me as I was sitting there reading Dr. Fauci's emails recently that everything I learned in 10th grade science, everything I'd learned as a doctor about the scientific method, about hypotheses and developing theories, that we just threw that all out the door. You know, I was shocked as I went back and reviewed some of the letters that were written, but really what rose my suspicion was somewhere back in January of 2020. And the Chinese were saying that there was no person-to-person transmission. The WTO agreed, and the CDC didn't stand up to them. And that led for me to have a phone call with the CDC. And all the national journalists were reporting that the United States scientists were investigating this new novel virus. And when I talked to the CDC, they said, well, we've got scientists in Beijing, but they're thousands of miles from Wuhan, so we really don't have anything to tell you. And then the next thing I see is this, a letter signed by a group of scientists who have ignored even the possibility that this virus could have risen from the laboratory. They totally ignored it. They threw out the scientific hypothesis that this was even feasible. And didn't come to find out most of those scientists, if not all of them, were receiving some type of funding then and in the future from the NIH and our CDC sat there and nodded their head in agreement. And then national journalists, big tech companies, that they worked together to suppress this story. They worked together to censor those of us who thought that this virus may have originated there. And not only did they suppress, they actually shamed people who thought that this might have came from a laboratory. And then finally, we see in Dr. Fauci's emails a collusion, working with Dr. Fauci, big tech working together to suppress this story. You know, here we are, we're 17 months later. We still don't know anything much more about this virus. You know, I think that we have to hold the CCP accountable. And if the United States is in any way accountable, if they helped fund laboratories that led to the development of this virus, then we need to be held accountable as well. And we need a deep dive into what viral gain of research rules look like going forward as well. You know, we're never going to get to the bottom of this unless we stop this cover-up of the Wuhan lab leak until we stop Batgate. Thanks, Marcia.
Senator Johnson?
Go ahead.
Well, Johnson.
Okay, I'll go. I want to point out that the evidence about a potential lab leak theory has been hiding in plain sight for months. You know, the fact that our federal agencies, under the direction of Anthony Fauci, funded this type of research for years has been laying out there hidden in plain sight for months. Shame on the media, shame on the social media for not paying attention to it, for completely ignoring it. The result of this 18-month gap of fully exploring the true origin of the COVID virus probably means we'll never get to the bottom of it. China's had 18 months to destroy this evidence. But make no doubt about it, China is guilty. They are culpable. They knew they had a coronavirus. They knew they had a deadly pandemic-type virus in Wuhan. They didn't allow flights out of Wuhan to the rest of China, but they let that virus infect the entire world. So we already know China's guilty. We already know they had to be held to account. I think we also need to hold the news media and the social media accountable as well. This isn't the only area of suppression. I could list a long list of false narratives, false stories that the drive-by media promotes and then never really adequately retracts. But when it comes to COVID, I have personal experience with censorship and suppression that I believe has cost tens of thousands of Americans their lives. The NIH guidelines as it relates to treatment of COVID remains a compassionless guideline to basically do nothing. Go home, isolate yourself, be afraid, and if you just happen to get sick enough where you have to check yourself in the hospital, check yourself in the hospital, maybe we can save your life. I held two hearings on early treatment. Dr. Peter McCullough laid out the four pillars of pandemic response. The first one is try and stop the spread. Well, China is guilty in not doing that. The second pillar is early treatment, basically how we apply medicine to every other condition, early detection, early treatment, then in-hospital treatment, and finally vaccine. Why did our health agencies, why did Anthony Fauci, why did the mainstream media suppress and censor doctors who had the courage and compassion to treat patients early with cheap, generic, repurposed drugs? Why did that happen? There is growing evidence. It's not being reported on by the media. Mexico's having great success with ivermectin. Certain provinces in India are having great success with ivermectin. Where's reporting on that? We've seen studies where 50 to 85% of lives could have been saved. It prevents that much death. Apply that percentage to the 600,000 Americans that lost their lives. Which is why I believe the news media will never admit their complicity and why they will never admit they were wrong here. But it's not too late. Lives can be saved. We're still going to need early treatment, no matter how effective a vaccine is, no matter how effective immunity from having been infected is, other people will get infected, other people are going to need early treatment. So I am begging, I am imploring the media, pay attention to people like Dr. Corey, Dr. Peter McCullough, the other doctors that have the courage and compassion to treat patients. It's not too late. We need to start and really robustly explore early treatment now.
And finally, Senator Wicker, who joins me in holding big tech accountable and dealing with Section 230 and censorship.
Thank you, Senator Blackburn and others. The last quarter of a century has seen enormous growth in the internet, and much of it's been positive, as we all know. But the result of this quarter century has been that it has allowed a handful of internet big tech platforms to grow enormously large, enormously rich, and enormously powerful to the point where they decide what is the news. They decide what information the public is going to get and what information is going to be blocked. And it's not just the Wuhan virus, which is an outrage, as my colleagues have just described. We could cite chapter and verse time and time and time again about these big platforms deciding what we will hear and what we can't hear. So let me just help out by saying Senator Johnson is right, and I will cite a few examples. Google threatened to cut off several conservative websites, including the Federalist. How do they have the power to do that? How can they justify doing that? Companies restrict or terminate conservative users' accounts and content on social media. Facebook announced it's suspending the account of a former president of the United States. That is too much power for them to decide who can and who cannot make news and be quoted. Twitter moved to censor any coronavirus coverage that they thought, in their judgment, might cause widespread panic. How does a multi-rich, powerful internet platform get to make that decision? And I could go on and on and on. That's why I've joined with senators like Senator Blackburn in trying to correct the Section 230 gaps, but also why I'm introducing legislation to make it clear that these large internet tech platforms cannot discriminate based on their own opinions and based on what they think the public should and should not be allowed to hear. This is a serious, grave threat to freedom and the open exchange of ideas under our Constitution, and I'm glad to stand with these members on this task.
Thank you all. As you can see, this is something that is going to span several committees here in the U.S. Senate. It is our job to get to the bottom of what happened and then to bring forward remedies like Senator Wicker has just laid out. Got a question?
Thank you. So the EU and G7 have called for an investigation into whether or not this was a Wuhan lab leak. I'm wondering, do you think an international approach is the best way to investigate this going forward, or what would you recommend?
I think the standing committees of the U.S. Senate should take the lead. We are pleased that our allies are also joining us and saying, this needs to be investigated. It is obvious that something was not right. It is of concern that the WHO decided that they were going to let the communist Chinese tell them when and how they could approach this lab, and that we had to wait for months.
And then also, I saw your release yesterday about firing Dr. Fauci. Can you just talk a little bit about that on camera?
Sure. I think that it is appropriate that Dr. Fauci step aside from his responsibilities at the NIAID, and that he make himself available to Congress to find out exactly how was he in cahoots with Mark Zuckerberg and big tech. What transpired there? Did the American people hear some truth, but not the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Why was there not timeliness of acknowledgement of concerns around the lab? Why was there not more of a concern around Wuhan saying you cannot go anywhere else in China, or the Chinese Communist Party saying you can go nowhere else in China if you're from Hubei province or you're from Wuhan, but you can travel the globe everywhere but China? These are things that, now look, we've got 3.5 million people that have lost their life. 3.5 million people. We have hundreds of thousands of American families who have experienced loss of life in their families, to loved ones, to friends. We have loss of livelihood for hundreds of millions. We have children, precious children, that have just experienced loss of learning for a year, loss of socialization, that are showing emotional problems. And Dr. Fauci is funded by the U.S. taxpayer. And the taxpayer is saying, what did you do with our dollar? Thank you all so much.